Hello, my friends in devilry. Stella here, and welcome to The Lair. As you may know, some of the conservatives in town who refer to me as a basement blogger and tell people that I refer to myself as the devil fantasize that I cook up my leftists in a lair. So, of course, like the name of our channel that represents the demonization of progress, I've decided to lean into it again. I even made myself a logo for The Lair, though I'm sure the very obvious irony will be completely over their heads. Now, before we get started, I do want to make sure I'm being transparent. Right now, I am working for the Washington Coordinated Campaigns to help amplify Democratic representatives locally in North Central Washington. This is the first time I have accepted money from anyone in the political sphere ever. I also want to be clear that they do not have any interest in progressive devilry and are not paying me to make content. In fact, I have been told specifically that if I am to continue to make content while working for them, that it needed to be on my own time. So none of progressive devilry's content is paid for by any political party and never has been. The coordinated campaigns also do not persuade anyone. They are just about getting out the vote, regardless of who votes, because democracy is the emphasis. So, in addition to working more than 50 hours a week for them canvassing, phone banking, coordinating volunteers, running my own business, and managing a nonprofit, I'm here making educational content for progressive devilry. Everything I say is my personal opinion and only representative of myself and the Progressive Devilry channel. So, with that disclaimer out of the way, here we go. Today, we are going to talk about dominionism. I won't be referring to dominionists as Christians in this segment because they are some of the farthest sects away from the teachings of Jesus, though they pretend otherwise. And I don't want actual Christians to think that I lump them in the same bucket, because I don't. There are a bunch of videos I want to do that I realized I would really need to explain dominionism before I could really dig into anything deeper. And Dominic Bonney has already had a great article that he wrote last year about the Seven Mountains Mandate, which I will be exploring next in more detail. The link to his article will be in the description and available in the sources on our website. As usual, this connects directly to Grace City Church, aka Grace City Cult, as we radical AOC leftists refer to the militarized dominionist evangelical church that has dug its claws deeply into our community. They just finished getting approved to turn King's Orchard Church into a school a few months ago now, to which they, according to Josh McPherson, we'll make sure it's super manly, with not so many women about to help the soft boys we are raising here in North Central Washington to slay the dragon and get the girl.
The name. Here's what's important about the name. The working title for this school for the last 3.5 years was Patrick Henry Academy Patriots, because I was so frustrated with the lack of freedom in our nation. I wanted to name it after the whitest, most stubborn, anti-federalist founding father I could think of. School, you can think of this as weird. This is how I think. I count the number of female teachers to male teachers. 32 female teachers, 2 male teachers. My kid's not going there. Love women. But I can't send my 16-year-old son to a highly feminized culture to learn from a bunch of women. I need to be around dudes. Women are awesome. We need women. Nurture, love, the whole thing. Here's the deal. God didn't charge women with educating our children. Farmers. Isn't that cool? There's our logo. Just to say this for the ladies who are like, where's the lady farmer? Here's the deal, chicas. We tried getting a lady farmer logo. No bueno. Either way too portly or way too hot. Either way, it wasn't going to work on a t-shirt. We could not find that rosy riveter or happy balance. We're like, yeah, forget it. Lady farmers. We'll just call them that, okay? It's got to be the dude with the stash and the hat and the muscles and the plaid shirt. Like, there it is. Farmers, that's us.
This is awesome.
How do I know what a dragon is?
If you're asking that question at 6 years old, you're already on your way to being a dragon killer.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, man.
Attaboy. I want to know, how do I identify dragons? And if I'm seeing dragons at 11, if I'm recognizing dragons, bad attitudes, or things that are coming against me, I'm recognizing the reality of a spiritual battle at 11 years old, at 6 years old. I want to know how to recognize them, identify them, and fight them.
That's good.
God's got amazing plans for your life.
That's right.
But we'll go more into that in another video. back to the topic at hand. What is dominionism? According to Political Research Associates, dominionism can be summarized as the theocratic idea that Christians are called by God to exercise dominion over every aspect of society by taking control of political and cultural institutions. But what exactly does that mean? And how is it different from authoritarian evangelicals that we've come to know and abhor? Basically, they think that their version of the Christian God has issued a call to take over the government, control what is taught through public education, healthcare, and the basic choices people make in their homes with the help of their doctors regarding their own bodies. Sound familiar? Because they are here. We see them and this flag here in town often enough. Now, this flag has actually been around since 1775 and has been co-opted to represent dominionism. So if anyone watching this is like, nuh-uh, we'll start with a look at the history of the flag. Now, we've talked about dog whistles, and this is one of them. If you don't know what a dog whistle is, pause here and check out my video on dog whistles in the comments and then come back. If you need a refresher, a dog whistle is a phrase or symbol that can be used to signal supporters covertly, but easily explained away if in mixed company. It has the potential appearance of an innocent misunderstanding or a "that's not what it means to me" disavowal, which gives the person the mirage of innocence or at the very least a shadow of doubt at their intentions. The appeal to Heaven Flag has become a very prevalent dog whistle. It was unsurprisingly seen at the January 6th riots and insurrection, but we are going to start at the beginning and talk about the history of this flag. Back during the beginning of the American Revolution, we didn't have just one flag. No one had chosen Betsy Ross's 13 original colonies star-spangled banner yet. There were a bunch of flags people had designed, vying for selection to be known forever in history as she is now. The official design we know today wasn't accepted until 1777, and even then, most areas had their own version to designate who they were from a distance. It's why every state has their own flag, so no one was lobbing volleys of bullets or cannonballs at friendly approaching hosts. Though most people can just call before they come over nowadays, they don't have to stand down the street with a flag to announce their identity before slowly approaching for fear of friendly fire. Though we would have less solicitors that way. The Appeal to Heaven flag is credited as being created by Joseph Reed, a man who was George Washington's closest confidant until he was caught gossiping with Charles Lee about their doubts of Washington's ability to lead. A man who bankrupted his own state of Pennsylvania within 2 years of being elected as their quote-unquote president, or what would be considered in modern day as the governor, because of some bizarre choices in policy. I mean, this dude would stir up riots to attack anyone literally defending people he was attempting to frame as guilty of treason in order to seize their property. This man is called a founding father because of his tangential position to George Washington and because he basically told the King of England that he couldn't afford him. So that's the kind of person who designed the flag, which, I mean, that is pretty hilarious. But at this point, 1775, it would have been after George Washington had punted him from his side for being a bitchy gossip, and technically being a bit of a treasonous asshole himself. But if a white man isn't out here projecting his own hang-ups and trying to get other people killed because of them, then is this even America? Speaking of white men stealing things or misrepresenting them to get what they want, the pine tree was co-opted as a symbol because it was originally important to the people indigenous to the New England region of what is now the United States. In the mid to late 1600s, colonists adopted the pine tree symbolism on flags and currency there leading up to the Revolutionary War, since the Massachusetts Bay Colony produced those items. The pine tree became a colonial symbol of frustration and resistance for a lot of reasons, but one incident in particular cemented that meaning. Before the Boston Tea Party, in 1772, there was a riot around the pine trees because the Royal Navy thought they should get first pick of the Massachusetts lumber for their masts. And in true British fashion, the Crown decided they needed every tree 12 inches wide and larger, which was nearly all of the lumber. It came to a head in April of 1772 when people representing the Crown came to enforce the unfair logging mandates, requisition the lumber back from the people doing the work, and punish everyone who wasn't following the laws. The British officers were carving upward-facing arrows in the tree to indicate which tree was marked for the Crown. When they would find the marked wood in logging yards not working to mill it directly for the Crown, the owners would be fined extensively, and they would have to return the logs. In response, one mill owner got a bunch of people together and mutilated horses belonging to the royal officers who were enforcing the laws, and then beat the royal officers with pine switches. So, the pine tree was really solidified as a revolutionary time symbol of resistance then, and on various flags as a reminder of the cruelty that is inflicted on colonists by the Crown. Both the arrow-looking pine tree and the pine tree itself are calls to this incident specifically on the Appeal to Heaven flag. It is to be noted that the rioters who inflicted damage on the horses and officers were eventually held accountable, because being held accountable for your actions is important. The sheriff, who was beaten and horse mutilated, caught all of the rioters and held them for a ransom, so that everyone involved had to literally pay for their release and show up to court for their crimes. An early nod to the bail system we have today. This riot in Massachusetts is described as the spark that led to the spark, the Boston Tea Party, of the American Revolution. This incident was a very common and widespread story of uprising against the Crown at the time. When Joseph Reed got his bitchy little hands on the pine tree flag, however, in 1777, 5 years after the incident, he added someone else's words to try and make it more godly. Though, by adding these words to the pine tree without the context, meant the meaning of the pine tree itself was lost to the ages. The meaning being, fuck fascism and fuck monarchies. John Locke's Rite of Revolution, where the words appeal to heaven came from, was released in 1690. A lot of Locke's works were quoted by political and military leaders of the day because of their topical relevance running up to the American Revolution. Even though they were nearly 100 years old by 1776, Richard Henry Lee, one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, even considered that document as essentially plagiarizing Locke's two treatises of government. Here is an excerpt from the Rite of Revolution where the words came from in context. And where the body of the people or any single man is deprived of their right or is under the exercise of a power without right and have no appeal on earth, then they have a liberty to appeal to heaven whenever they judge the cause of sufficient moment. And therefore, though the people cannot be judged so as to have, by the constitution of that society, any superior power to determine and give effective sentence in the case, yet they have, by a law antecedent and paramount to all positive laws of men, reserved that ultimate determination to themselves, which belongs to all mankind. Where there lies no appeal on earth, viz. To judge, whether they have just cause to make their appeal to heaven. They have liberty to appeal to heaven, and whether they have just cause to make their appeal to heaven doesn't exactly sound dominionist, because they aren't when put into context, the literal meaning of which is, I have nothing else to lose, this is my last stand, not please God save me slash us. Because when put in context, the text reads more like, when they've got you backed into a corner and you don't have any choice left, come out swinging and let Jesus take the wheel. That's not exactly a biblical reference. John Locke was actually a huge proponent of separation between church and state, as well as religious freedom. So it's immensely ironic that his words are being used now as a dominionist battle cry, especially as how heavily Locke was inadvertently involved in the birth of the U.S. Before Reed added the phrase "an appeal to heaven" to the flag, it had already been circulating in large conventions and notable speeches like Patrick Henry's "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death." He says, "I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left to us." As in, they were backed into a corner and the only option left was to say a prayer and fight. At the time, it was a relatively popular call to Locke's works. It would be like someone today quoting Marx, Kant, or Nietzsche in order to make a point and sound smart, but may just be trying to evoke the emotion of the literature cited. But it's unlikely anyone who is flying this flag unironically as a Dominionist knows the actual meaning behind it, because, as is now becoming more and more apparent, no one who tells you to do your own research actually does theirs. Am I right? What they mean by research is they found one person who supported what they already thought without any real sources, and that's the extent of their research. Confirmation bias at its finest. They'll take someone else's words as their own, give it their own definition, take it out of context, and make that the only definition. Now, you might be saying, well, that doesn't make the flag specifically Dominionist. They could just be history nuts. Let's go ahead and fast forward to the present. In 2008, it was used in the introduction credits to an HBO miniseries about John Adams, referring to his New England habitation. Then, soon after, in the 2010s, it began being used as a religious and political symbol exclusively by conservative and nationalist extremists within the United States. The flag showed up at a Million Vets march and photographed there behind Sarah Palin in October in 2013, which prompted conservative blogger Andrew Sullivan to quote something one of his readers said without sourcing anything. Lots of quotes, but nothing as to where it came from. Sounds about right for conservative talking heads. Though he does add a correction later from another reader at the end who corrects some of the misinformation from the original post. A person who said that because of the increasing use of the flag, they would not be flying it anymore because of its new intended meaning, a hysteria surrounding an imagined need to revolt. Out of the three whole sentences Sullivan wrote himself as commentary, he says something very interesting. "I don't think we can ignore the fact that many on the Republican right now believe themselves to be an open, nonviolent rebellion against the government of the United States. Having lost the appeal to the majority of Americans, they will soon be invoking an appeal to a higher power against the president." That will be important later on in this series that we're working on because of Project 2025, which you've probably heard about at this point, but if you haven't, don't worry, we're getting there. The head of the Heritage Foundation has recently been quoted as saying,
"We're in the process of taking this country back. We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be."
Kevin Roberts said in an interview on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast, "This is directly what Dominionists want. They are finally saying what they mean out loud." But let's go back to the timing of the Dominionist flag being present behind Sarah Palin at the 2013 Million Vets March. Anyone remember who was president in 2013? That's right, the first Black American, President Obama. This rally was held 10 months after the certification of the 2012 election when Obama was voted back in for a second term against Mitt Romney. So it was a fresh sting in their minds, and many alt-right white nationalists felt like they needed to make a statement. Enter Dominionism. The Seven Mountains Mandate was published in 2013, July 16th. The Million Vets March, where the Appeal to Heaven flag was first notably seen in public behind an elected official, was October 13th, 2013, just 3 months later. In 2015, as the new meaning was gaining traction, the pine tree flag showed up in Warren, Arkansas, run up the flagpole of the county courthouse. After it had been up for a while, the Freedom From Religion Foundation complained to Bradley County Judge Keith Neely about using the public courthouse as a forum for religious extremist symbols. They said in their complaint, the Appeal to Heaven flag is now associated with the recent Appeal to Heaven movement, whose adherents honor the Lord by supporting candidates for public office who are believers in Jesus Christ, who regularly attend and display a commitment to an evangelical, gospel-centered church, and who will commit to live and govern based on biblical principles. After which, Judge Neely took the flag down. The action was condemned by most right-wing media, of course, as, checks notes, some kind of attack on their values, which included Sarah Palin, again, on the totally independent and absolutely trustworthy news source, Breitbart. So I guess it's fair to say, since she is proudly posing with the Appeal to Heaven flag here in 2015, that the flag behind her at the Million Vets March in 2013 wasn't exactly an accident. She did her best to frame the issue as some kind of attack on history and Christian values. The same where-is-the-line argument that all alt-right asshats make when they conveniently want to obscure the current meaning ascribed to previously historical symbols that are now co-opted for new dog whistles. Like symbols of the Confederacy that currently stand for racism and atrocities that were perpetuated well past the Civil War and into the era of Jim Crow all the way to today. And with the Daughters of the American Revolution popping up cheap Confederate statues to remind people of color their place. The Confederate flag right now stands for racism and murder, though people who would like to ignore that or keep it as a dog whistle would tell you it's merely a historical symbol for states' rights, symbolizing their heritage. And if you remember my dog whistle video, states' rights is also a dog whistle to obscure the press for segregation and continuing to oppress then recently desegregated Black Americans. This also ties to the history of school choice being the grounds to try and create a loophole in segregation laws to move white kids to richer, mostly white schools, but I'll be getting to that in another video, since school choice has reared its head locally as well. Also in 2015, a movement they named after the flag itself, the Appeal to Heaven movement, was created, which is what the Arkansas complaint was referencing. At this point, it would be hard to call the pine tree a dog whistle when it has officially been co-opted by a Dominionist movement. But the fact that not everyone knows about this movement or current significance of the Appeal to Heaven flag still lends to that air of potential naivete or innocence, right? You don't know what you don't know. Today, the website for the movement is little more than a merch store, so we know exactly where their principles really lie. And because of the Dominionist co-opting of the pine tree symbol, the flag cannot ever mean anything other than Dominionist beliefs. So evangelicals have ruined yet another thing. Which is sad, because we've learned today that it really stands for mutilating horses, riots only get you a fine, and beating cops with pine switches, which, I mean, I could get behind the beating cops with pine switches part, not the horse thing. That's pretty awful. I mean, what did Snickers even do to you? I wish Arkansas was the last, but in 2019, a state representative from Illinois decided it would be cool to use the pine tree flag during a public appearance to help focus attention on a national day of prayer, effectively being the first elected official signaling Dominionist ties beyond Sarah Palin, who we've all known to be a pretty staunch white supremacist, who has made several references to the neo-Nazis' 14 words on social media, so it isn't surprising from her. Another dog whistle. But to see more elected officials join her is troubling, to say the least. Then, on January 6th, 2021, the day armed insurrectionists attacked our nation's capital, injured Capitol Police, planted explosives, all because a 34-time, so far, felon named Donald Trump perpetuated the lie that he had been the real winner of the 2020 election without evidence, and which has been repeatedly proven wrong. Al Gore has more of a claim to a stolen election than Trump does. At this point, a large number of former President Trump's lawyers and aides have walked back their statements even and said that he didn't win. In fact, not only did he not win, but they knew the whole time that he didn't win. Even Tucker Carlson originally expressed doubt that it was true, but Fox News stepped in when Sidney Powell, who recently pled guilty to election interference in Georgia, called them and complained that Carlson wasn't following her lead. Carlson also said he hated Donald Trump passionately in private text messages. And even Fox themselves successfully argued right before the end of the 2020 election that Carlson essentially could present any falsities he wanted as fact. The judge herself wrote, "Fox persuasively argues that given Mr. Carlson's reputation, any reasonable viewer arrives with an appropriate amount of skepticism about the statements he makes." Which means that Fox News is not news at all, or rather, not reliable or factual, because only unreasonable, illogical, and naive people would take what Tucker Carlson and other Fox segment hosts say as fact. I'm looking at you, local conservatives, quoting Fox stories as if they are fact. Even your own favorite network thinks you're easy to dupe for money and views, so have fun with that. But, as we've established since the beginning, these people don't do their own research, or the rioters would have come armed with pine switches, not pipe bombs, to the insurrection. And they wouldn't have shown up to begin with to support an insurrection born of lies and patently false talking points spread by a burnt tangerine with arms. Though, it's an interesting thought that these people think they are reasonable and apply skepticism to issues like the election lie. In order for that to be true, and the court has determined that a reasonable person would determine that the claims were fake, then that means that the insurrectionists knew the claims were fake, which also means that wasn't the reason they were there. Suddenly, the appearance of so many of those pine tree flags takes on a whole other meaning. So the dog whistle fades even more. And that brings us to today, where, as I showed earlier, the newly elected Speaker of the House has flown a Dominionist flag in front of his public office. The man second in line for the presidency, Dominionists have been hiding in plain sight using dog whistles and the obscurity they offer to shield themselves and accomplish their goal, which is to take over our government and enforce Christian law over all of us. The law that says that women and people with a uterus don't get bodily autonomy or power over their own medical choices. This man, who is second to the presidency, says that allowing abortions is causing an American Holocaust. As if the genocide of Jewish people is somehow comparable to the right to choose or even stay alive, as some abortions are medically necessary. Partnering with people like Justice Alito, who, while he helped overturn Roe v. Wade in a landmark ruling to tell women what they are allowed to do with their own bodies, somehow has no control over his own wife, who also displayed the Dominionist flag for 2 weeks, supposedly against his wishes. Right? Totally. Remember at the beginning when we talked about the basic definition of Dominionism? Well, there we have someone in position to take over the government. We've lost Roe v. Wade through Justice Alito and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh by Trump, who both said it was settled law during their confirmation hearings, and they are working real hard on education through Dominionist groups like Moms for Liberty. Luckily, we have been able to fend off their attempts to co-opt the school board in our town at an extremely vulnerable time, but other places have not been so fortunate. So now, when you see these flags around town hanging off of the trucks that like to roll coal past protesters or hanging out in front of homes, you know that they are signaling their desire for dominionism. They are no longer standing for beating cops with switches, but beating them with crowd control barriers, planting pipe bombs, breaking things, and stealing what doesn't belong to you, and literally shitting on history. And the sad thing is, they're proud of that. They think it's funny to take a shit where someone else works. People who were elected to their positions by them or their peers. Now that we know all of this, it's easy to spot people who don't know what they are talking about. Like the president of our local Moms for Liberty chapter, who just so happened to make a post with an Appeal to Heaven flag and George Washington. Ha! I mean, we know George Washington had nothing to do with the flag, and sure didn't like the gossipy little bitch who threw the words on it. We also know it had nothing to do with the Bible and everything to do with John Locke's words, but that doesn't stop people from doing their own research. Am I right? Thanks for joining me on this journey. Next, we'll be talking more in depth about the racist roots of school choice, the Dominionist Moms for Liberty movement, the Seven Mountains Mandate, and specifically, Project 2025. Now, before I go, I do want to give a quick shout out to our subscribers. You've been helping me in my beer fund, so I can hyper-focus and put words on a page to make these videos. So a quick thank you to Justin Fox Bailey, Ellie Fox, Deborah Rogers, Anna Peters, Xander Sen, and Maggie Joya. Your support is absolutely amazing. Until next time, let's make progress.
Hit that subscribe button to stay updated with us. And any sources we've used in today's episode are below or are available on our website at progressivedevilry.com.